have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last fire is gone. Like the tiger of old, the storm and the bones of the tiger.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And how are you feeling, Andy? It's obviously a very emotional week for Richmond supporters and serious injuries to one of our beloved players. You know, season starting. But also, how are you feeling about our fill-in host, Sean, from last week?
Well, I mean... Unfortunately, the Rance injury has distracted me from what my first 10 minutes of the podcast was going to be, which was throwing shade on Sean's effort.
Mm.
But I do actually think, due to the somewhat major development, that we probably need to address that first before I start insulting Sean and his lineage and all his future offspring.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he performed pretty well. I was surprised that he was reasonably complimentary about Jacob Wiedering. I mean, especially given that in normal circumstances, if you start saying things about Jacob, nice things about Jacob Wiedering, that's code for I'm being held against my will, please send help.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of Carlton analysis in it, but actually, you know, I learnt a bit about it while I was trying to swerve the car in crate accident, so I didn't have to listen to it anymore. But you know, I was sort of upset that on Twitter there was zero calls for me to come back while good reviews for Sean. I was tempted just to start a few burner accounts to, you know, get an imaginary
get a bit of momentum going.
Yeah, but let's talk about the game, Nick. Can I, before we talk about Rance, and I'm here to cast the it's not the end of the world argument, but
we've given it a few days, so we've been able to go through a number of cycles of, I don't know if grief's the right word, but yeah, I felt really numb on Thursday night, which...
Well, I was going to ask, is this the worst victory you can ever remember? Because I have two others that I can name.
Did we win the day that Richo crashed into the fence at the SCG? That was pretty bad.
We did, and we went top of the ladder.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something about that year. That was 1995, Nick.
Yep.
And we were never going to win the premiership that year because Geelong and Carlton were both 10-goal better teams than us. However, the way things happened, you know, maybe we could have stuck into the grand final. But on the other hand, we got the Essendon final, which is the greatest moment of our supporting lives before 2017. So it sort of turned out all right in the end.
And the
other game, Nick, that I was just before,
where
again, it was the Tankathon game where Jordan McMahon kicked the goal at the end. And, you know, being the kind of smarky fan I would rather take the draft picks. And at the time, I was very annoyed with Melbourne. But again, that turned out better than we expected.
Better than expected is an understatement, since it resulted in Dusty.
Yes, it were our Norm Smith Brownlow winning, you know,
Uber player, footballer.
Uber footballer. And they got, you know, two... Well, they eventually got some draft picks for Scully, but that was it, really. So, you know, these things can seem worse on the day than they actually turn out.
Yeah, and I don't think they did anything with the draft picks for Scully, but it is a digression. It was, I don't know, it was... And round one's always a funny game of football, as the results across the whole weekend showed. I think we were all feeling pretty smug and happy when we were... 40 points to one, Tom Lynch having two first quarter goals. It couldn't have gone any better for the first quarter.
I tweeted my favourite Scarface meme, which is of Al Pacino sitting in the spa pool enjoying his newfound wealth.
Yeah.
And then it all went to custard.
I enjoyed the last quarter as well, like especially when it felt like there was almost a 15-minute period where they couldn't get the ball past halfway, despite Rance's absence. The middle bit I didn't enjoy nearly as much.
No. But, Nick, let's not bury the lead. Let's talk about Rance.
Yeah.
Now, I reckon 3 years ago I would have said, that's it, you can't win.
No, because we were horribly dependent on him a couple of years ago. Like, I think it was either 2015 or 16 when he was out for a few weeks. We were terrible in defence.
Yeah. And the other thing is, look, I've just watched enough football and seen enough examples of teams winning without their star player. We all love Alex Rance.
Mm.
Our premiership odds, the likelihood of it went down 20 to 30% in the betting markets, but was still sort of almost equal favourite.
They actually went down, they went down about 5%, but that's, I suppose it depends how you measure it. But they went down a bit, but it wasn't a ton. And then when the rest of the weekend happened, we were still premiership favourites at the end of it, but really sort of, it's a really open field.
Well, we're not anymore. We're Collingwood are in front of us. But I just did it on Betfair. We went from $4.50 to $6.50 or $7. Okay, he's a great player. He led our intercepts. We've talked a million times about why. And one of the great tragedies, A, don't get to watch him, and B, two more seasons of All-Australian-level play, and you have a case for Rance being a GOAT. So that's a tragedy. But at the end of the day, the West Coast Eagles lost Gaff and Nick Nat last year, and they won the premiership. The Cats lost Ablett when he was a transcendent player. He was the best player in the league by far, and they won a premiership the next year. I can go to other sports, but there are 22 players playing on it every day, every week for an AFL team. No one player, even as one as great as Rance, is irreplaceable.
No, he's not easy to replace, though.
No, I mean, it's a huge loss, but the season's not over.
No, definitely not. And I'm Team Garthwaite in a sort of slightly longer-term sense. Like, there's talk that he won't play this week, which is fair enough since he's missed most of the pre-season. And I think Garthwaite can be a pretty reasonable approximation of what Rance does in a sort of one-on-one killing the contest sense, like sort of sticking to a man, nullifying a man. Like Garthwaite covers a ton of territory. You don't want him. You worry a bit about him pushing and shoving with the really big guys. And he is a negative player, and so he's much less likely to take intercept marks, of which is not surprising, since almost any human being is less likely to take intercept marks. But I think he can fit in as part of a good defence. Like, it's a step down, and a noticeable step down, but it's not, my feeling is right now, at least it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and, there's no doubt at times Rance is allowed to play off his, other people cover for Rance to use his supreme athleticism to go and get to other contests.
Mm.
I mean, Rance is wonderful at that. Garthwaite isn't going to do that. As you say, Garthwaite is going to play more directly on his opponent, but that might allow opportunities for other players. Look, okay, we are clutching at straws here, and we're going to have to watch it play out to see how it really is. It may be an utter unmitigated disaster, and we may leave goals. But look, Garthwaite hasn't played that much.
Which, when we got beaten badly last year, thinking the preliminary final Adelaide game, West Coast game, like when we got beaten badly, like the floodgates really did open.
Yes, but let's wait and see. Garthwaite to me is a relatively unknown proposition, and we won't even get to know him better this week either if he doesn't play. But I think there's hope, and the core of the team is still very strong.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the. If there's any sort of a a positive to take of that, that sense of the fabric of the team and how closely connected they are really, really shone through from the whole experience.
Yeah, and you know me, I'm a bit of a cynic about the mindfulness stuff, but you still, even if you don't believe in that kind of things at all, you've still got 21 players from a team from a list that was the premiership favourites last week. Mm-hmm. So you know it's not the end of the world. I would have, frankly, I know it's easy to say in hindsight. The only if we lost Dusty, that's when I'd say, well, you know, maybe we can still finish top four if we play really well. But I think we can still win a premiership without Rance.
Mm. Fingers crossed.
It's harder.
Definitely harder. But yeah, it's still feasible. I think it puts some more emphasis on the midfield. Like, I think the our ability to absorb a lot of pressure in our defensive half for long periods of time, which we were able to do last year, I think that's going to be harder now.
Mm. So I guess the other big interest factor, and we'll go through it more systematically in a sec, but how did you read the changes Lynch made to the team?
Well, I was always an optimist on how Lynch fits in just because he's a smart footballer. And I think we did see some... It was very definite rust. Perhaps in signs that he and Jack quite haven't got the chemistry and the communication down perfectly yet. But, yeah, there was a lot to like. He's a really big, talented, if somewhat rusty, key forward.
And he kicks well for goal.
And he kicks well for goal, yes. That is extremely endearing.
I mean, I completely agree on the rust. He only had 7 touches. He didn't get a touch in the third quarter. But
yeah, the marking's going to get better than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He dropped some. He dropped one or two. He actually could have had 5, and off 9 possessions. But you can see the talent there. And okay, Jack was actually relatively quiet, but I thought Jack was getting a bit of space and a bit of soft, easy ball because the defence that was starting to key on someone else for a change.
Mm.
And I think this will be good for Jack's career because he's going to have to make a lot less contests. And if anyone can learn to play as a second fiddle to someone else, it would be Jack because he's a supremely intelligent footballer.
Yeah, and he's in a much more self-aware part of his career as well. He's got nothing to prove.
Yeah, he just wants to play for titles.
Mm.
Speaking of which, we're going to the other exciting debutant. What did you think about Noah Bolter?
Oh, well, you didn't want to talk about Mavwell.
Yes, well, you know that was we're bearing the Mavwell lead. But
yeah,
let's just save that rich dessert and briefly touch on the player with the far less upside, which is Noah Bolter.
Oh, look, he was largely as advertised for me. Like, it's consistent contributions are going to be a work in progress. I liked his contesting at the centre square. He was reasonably competitive at ruck contests, and he was equally competitive when the ball hit the ground. So I liked that. I thought as a forward, he did little, and he didn't do as much playing a kick behind the play as he did in JLT1. But, yeah, I mean, you can see the talent. The talent's obvious. So, yeah.
Yep.
And as backup ruck, I thought he was quite adequate.
Yeah, I agree with all that. There was a fair bit of headless chookery going on.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, he actually kicked the third goal off that 50 and then set up the fourth one with that extremely long kick.
The booming kick, yeah.
Yeah, and his pressure was high. Like, he was sprinting after players. He made himself too easy to balk by not, by not slowing down when he was in open field to break down and make the tackle. But there was a lot to like. I think people who are wondering whether he's going to be a Rance replacement, I don't think there's a chance of that. I just don't think... I think... In AFL level, like, he might one day be a backman, but at the moment he's a shock weapon. He's not a guy that you rely for 120 minutes to lock down an opposition forward.
Mm.
I mean, maybe it'll help his focus, but he just seems to me... Look, he didn't get a touch in the second and third quarters.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a lot more comfortable with him as a shock weapon in the forward line in the ruck than as a permanent feature of our back line.
Yeah, definitely so. And look, definitely the best thing about his performance was that Nant got to spend more time forward, and that was super fun.
Yeah, that worked excellently well. By the way, Nick, this just in, Phillips is a massive spud. I didn't realise how much of a spud he was, but
he's a 27-year-old ruckman at his second club who's played 37 games of senior football.
He's so
pretty spuddy.
Yeah, but having Bolter do some of the work, the proper ruck work, I think it freed up Nank a little bit, and him going forward worked sort of not how you'd expect. Like there was a lot of roving goals, but it freed him up. And the other thing I'll say about Nank, I was much reassured by the new ruck rules. I thought he'd struggle with them, but I think he goes, because he's so coordinated, you know, he's good at grabbing the ball out of the ruck. I was sort of reassured that it might not be a massive disadvantage to him after all.
No, they're still working out how we do the Lambert off the back of the square thing, which seems to work reasonably well most of the time. But yeah, need to watch that. But yeah, no, I liked. He was having no trouble snatching the ball out of the air.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he goes against a non-spud ruckman this week.
I really liked Jack Graham's game, actually. Didn't love it, but I just thought, compared to where he was last year, this was exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah, and I'm just checking. He came despite getting a bit of the ball through. He did drop off in the second half. So in the first half, he was 16 touches and only 7 in the second. But despite getting 23 touches, obviously overall, and getting far more possessions that he was getting last year, which was when he was regularly in single digits, he still came second in the team in pressure acts. So, it was an average effort for him in pressure acts, and, you know, we know he's the regular team leader. So, overall, a very, as you say, promising performance by Graham, and, you know, we were both slightly worried about him, but looks like potentially our worries were misplaced.
Speaking of misplaced worried, I really enjoyed K-Mac's game.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Some very classy moments.
Marking overhead in a contested fashion.
Yes. Well, he might need to step it up because he might be running out of the half-back line shortly.
Yes, definitely an option. Although, I think Broad's, in terms of replacing the Rant's output, I think both having Broad and Grimes around gives us a lot more flexibility for 6'4" runners.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick, you know who was our best player on the AFL ratings, my beloved AFL ratings?
Kane Lambert?
Nope, Shedder.
Yeah. They do love Shane Edwards.
They do. But, you know, I was just, if you watch, with the naked eye, it just struck me how important he is to us. We think about when will the golden era of Richmond end, and we think about, Dusty Rance, Jack and Koch, but actually Shedders, who's the same age as those guys, is an incredibly important part of the team. And long may he continue to. I hope he has a Sean Burgoyne-like career, and because he's not a dissimilar player.
He hasn't had much of an injury history either. No, but some of his hands were great. I liked Lambert's game, but I was a little surprised he came second in the coaches' votes.
Nick, I'm out on the coaches' votes. I sort of sent to you on Twitter. To me, Cribbs was by far the best rated player in the AFL rankings, and just to me, to the naked eye, he was too. And the fact that both coaches rated him the third best player.
Yeah, they both had Cochin as best on ground.
And if you looked early on, Cochin was actually playing on Cripps for a bit of the time. And, Cochin was decent, and it wasn't...
I think he was better than decent. He was very good.
Yeah, but he to me, wasn't... it wasn't. If it had been sort of close, I would have accepted. But he was universal best on ground, and then Cripps was third. I just thought, oh, they're giving players to who are on the winning team. They're not really going to, you know, it's possible to be a great player on a crap team, which I think Cripps is. Yeah, but Cochran was good, but I'm out on the coaches' votes until I see a closer correlation to what actually seemed to perform the best.
What did you think of Dusty's game?
Underrated.
Yeah, I think he was pretty impactful. Now, occasionally he was impactful for Carlton by coughing up turnovers, but he is a weapon.
He had 11 score involvements.
Yeah, more than everyone else, and over 600 metres a game, which is a lot.
And I think on both sort of measures of output, the advanced metrics, he was our third best player. Like, you know, it wasn't vintage Dusty, but it was still, and you know, he's getting an awful lot of attention. He's pretty bloody good.
Yeah.
His pressure acts weren't exactly, his pressure acts were very much 2018 Dusty, not 2017 Dusty.
Yeah.
Should I say pre-contract, post-contract Dusty?
Yeah. Dan Butler's pressure acts were good, and they were by far the best thing of his game, because I thought he was pretty rusty otherwise.
Yeah, he's been slightly mercurial in the preseason, the first game of this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, he's coming back from a decent injury, so sort of cutting him a bit of slack, but yeah, there's definite scope for improvement.
And fairness, he got... robbed him of his moment of glory by taking that ridiculous snapshot.
Oh, no. he's got to take it easy on that stuff. Like, it was a great goal, and he was sort of reacting in the moment. But yeah, he shouldn't do that a lot.
I love Higlett.
Mm. Oh yeah, he's great, and that he's kicking set shots for goal is pretty awesome.
I know. I mean, limited sample size, but that was extremely exciting because he missed. They weren't hard shots, but he was missing them last year, and. Yeah. He nailed them this year, so that was promising. And actually was one of our best-rated players on the advance. Well, he kicked three goals, so thanks, Captain Obvious. Mm. But, yeah, I was... my excitement over Higlett continues to grow.
Yep. Was there anyone else from the seniors?
No, not really. I think that's all the key players. It was nice to see Asprey back, considering his last game wasn't so good, but... you know, surprisingly enough, stomach bug doesn't last forever.
No, look, they had the Carlton VFL team beforehand, which is I like the double headers at Punt Road, I got to say, and we have been a little worried about how the VFL team's going to go, having lost a lot of experience, but they had quite a nice win, and you know, some of the younger players played quite well. I don't think there was anything earth-shatteringly to learn from it, but yeah, Jack Watts is as we hoped. Cracks in hard when he wins his own ball. Brandon Ellis wins a ton of ball, even if he doesn't always use it very well. Callum Moore productive up forward. Like, it was a solid effort.
Yeah, it was perfectly respectable. It'll be interesting. Sadly, we don't really have a like-for-like for Rant, so I don't know how we're going to play that.
Mm. Yeah, look, Garthwaite played a half in the VFL, so you think they'd ramp him up this week with an eye to the seniors?
Do you think we looked a bit too tall?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought when the run of the game was going against us, I thought we could have... Well, just that we weren't getting anything out of Bolter compared that. You know, what we've been getting out of having Grigg in that position before and his ability to play in a number of positions.
Yeah. Nick, can I just... was there anything else you want to say about VFL?
Oh, no, just the regular season starts, which I'm very happy with. So, you know, you get proper statistics.
Mm. Couple of things I just wanted to... Yes, I much prefer the regular season and the VFL. A couple of things I wanted to raise just before I get onto the Pies. Firstly, I just wanted to mention a bit, because for the first time in a long time, there are three players playing for other clubs I'm genuinely interested in. Three players we talked a lot about on this podcast. with respect to Lids, it wasn't sort of as interesting when he was playing for the Giants. But these are players that sort of play, you know, we debated a lot on the podcast, and it's different to see them. It's interesting to see them in different roles. And you know, I start with my favourite Anthony Miles.
Yeah.
Quite respectable.
Yep.
24 touches, kicked a goal.
Played well. Yeah.
And Braves Suns performance did fairly well in the advanced metrics. And Sammy Lloyd.
Yeah, the legend.
The legend of Sammy Lloyd, 22 touches and 2 goals. By the way, a little highlight for me was that Dan Connors and Matthew Richardson had an exchange about Johnny Manziel on Twitter. So thank you to who pointed that out. Finally, Rhys Conker was okay on the basic stats, 19 touches. But I noticed on the AFL rankings he was the bottom-ranked player on both teams. So
yeah, yeah, coughed it up a bit just to... You know, you do you.
But it's all right. When you win by whatever it was, 80 points,
yeah.
It doesn't matter, does it? You get to sing the song. So, yep. Actually...
Yeah, all good.
Good start for all three of them. So, we wish them the best. All the best.
So, Collingwood, obviously, it's the big rematch game. Look, I thought the scoreline flattered us. A bit last time, you know, Collingwood were on top for a fair bit of the second and third quarters before we came home in the last.
You're talking about the regular season game, I presume?
Yeah, when we played them in July.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. That was the last time we played them, obviously.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So, you know, they're a good team and they've got a good midfield. They've added...
Premiership favourites.
They've added Beams, you know, he's obviously a very good player. Roughhead down back doesn't do wonders for me, but they're pretty big and athletic with him and Darcy Moore. Elliot's back after a long time and was one of their few winning forwards last week. But it is there's a lot of medium sized forwards, which maybe suits us a bit, although I think we'll miss Rance's athleticism as well.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, Dugowie didn't play last time we played against them, but yeah, he's pretty good.
He is rather, but again, Rance doesn't necessarily play that well against him.
No, no, and
at a game that didn't happen.
And Cox, well, so Cox played 24 games last year and kicked multiple goals on 6 occasions, including, and weirdly, it seems to say 3 times against Richmond, which obviously can't be right since we only played them twice. But, yeah, he does play better against us than anybody else.
Quite clearly.
He's very good at contested marking, like he does that against other teams as well. But, yeah, he just, whatever it is, his confidence has really been up when he plays against us.
Yeah, so anything that can change that dynamic would be good. But it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, the betting line's super close. We're 2-point favourites.
Explain to me how they're favourites to win the flag, but we're favourites to win this game.
I don't know. I mean, actually checked on Sportsbet, and we're slight flag favourites on that. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were pretty disappointing last week. Grundy's not at full fitness, and they had one or two other guys who weren't. Who seemed a bit rusty, Taylor Adams, to come back into the team.
Yeah, Taylor Adams got 36 possessions in the game that didn't happen.
I also think that we're not in mid-season form yet either, but maybe, I mean, we were a bit more impressive last week.
Yeah, I reckon we're going to come up pretty... There's going to be a round bounce effect, do you know what I mean?
I hope so.
I'm clutching at straws here, but, you know, it's just the... it won't last all season, but there'll be sort of a, you know, rally around the flag, do it for Rancy type atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it'll also... The Collingwood will be not... I mean, this is the first time in basically 2 years that we've changed our backline makeup since basically Broad became a regular fixture midway through 2017. So this will make it harder for Collingwood to scout us.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, they didn't. They kicked 9 goals last week, so clearly their attack wasn't wasn't quite functioning yet. God,
the AFL are praying that the overall scoring for the round was an outlier and not a sign of things to come, because if you haven't seen the graph, that was a new low in round one scoring off last year, which was quite low as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, the kick-out thing, you know, it's like perhaps it dampens scoring because you don't get the short turnovers. I thought we did a good job of defending the kick-outs, actually.
Yeah, I thought so too, actually. I also wondered whether Carlton was quite badly coached.
It's quite possible.
It's not the first time I've thought that about this. The current Carlton coach, that they do things that are inexplicable. You know, that they were sort of setting up their kick out so they could get, you know, a kick 30 metres out in the pocket. Well, that's what you did in the old days before they changed the rules.
We'd be begging them to take those kicks.
All right, Nick. So obviously you don't want revenge because we beat them last time we played. But how are you feeling about this game?
Nervous. I'm going to be catatonic by the time it's Friday night. So, look, I'm really hoping that we can get it done. I'd love for us to get it done. And, thinking about it, maybe you're right that there will be a degree of emotion for us in going out there and really making a statement that we can win without him. But, yeah, I don't know.
I'm going in open mind. I'll be fascinated to see how the football goes, and win or lose, as long as it's close, the season's very much alive. A 10-goal loss would be depressing, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a good game of football, and just remind us on Thursday night, not Friday.
I'll be a mess, but look, I still love this team, and they're still a really interesting team. So yeah, I really hope they get it done. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers, 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never reconcile.
It's just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from that way.
Makes rants.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Conjun. Left on snap.
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.